Today, I'm going to take a little bit of time and talk about the practice of gratitude, and particularly how we learn to express gratitude or express thanks in our daily lives. If you look in the Bible and you do a word search, you'll find that the word thanksgiving is used 30 times. None of those 30 times does it have anything to do with turkey or sitting down around the table with your family. It has to do with giving thanks to God. And then 48 times you find the two words give thanks. And in almost every one of those instances, they're followed by the words to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. So today we're going to be looking at Psalm 107. In a few minutes, I'm going to actually read the whole psalm. So I'm not going to put the words up on the screen, but if you at that point want to follow along in your Bibles, you're welcome to do that. And we're going to be talking about practicing the discipline of giving thanks, or the discipline of gratitude. Now, before we do that, you'll have to indulge me, because this is one of those times of the year where I get annoyed by some of the Christian cliches that are out there. And those of you who've been around long enough know one of my pet peeves is cheesy church signs, and most of these have been on church signs. And if I sound annoyed as we go through this, it's because I am. If you want to be rich, count your blessings. Now, to me, that sounds like something a rich person would say to a poor person. Seriously. And the family that doesn't have enough money to buy a coat or hats or boots for their kids and won't have a turkey on the table at Thanksgiving, I don't think they're going to want to hear, well, you just need to count your blessings and you'll be rich. And I think that is a devastating thing to say, because what it implies is that if you're not rich, you don't have any blessings. Now, I know there's a catchy little idea behind that. I just don't happen to like it. You can like it. These are all my opinions, and there's a purpose to all of this. This was on a church sign about 5 years ago, maybe a little longer. Only turkeys aren't thankful at Thanksgiving. And I saw that and said, seriously? Does that imply that most of the world are turkeys, since we're the only country that celebrates Thanksgiving as we do? Only turkeys aren't thankful at Thanksgiving. I thought, well, that implies that turkeys can think and feel and would know what Thanksgiving is about and know what's coming for them not to be thankful at Thanksgiving. And I'm of the inclination that turkeys can't think and feel, and they don't know anything about Thanksgiving. But if they can think and feel, isn't it possible that some of them would willingly sacrifice their lives for the good of others so that they could be a blessing to others? Maybe that's their purpose and their mission in life. I don't know. You need an attitude of gratitude. All I can say is it rhymes. And I get it, and I apologize. You might have that on a plaque in your house, and if you do, please don't go smash it, but you need an attitude of gratitude. And then the last one is my least favorite and my biggest pet peeve. Thanksgiving is good. I mean, that's what the Bible commands us, right? Thanksgiving is good. Thanksgiving is better. And I thought, what is thanksgiving? That's not even a word. That's not even a word. How do you live thanks? I don't know. So I've come to a conclusion. I've given a lot of thought to that this Thanksgiving season. And here it is. I'll sum it all up. Thanksgiving is having an attitude of gratitude that enables you to count your blessings, avoid being a turkey, and thus become rich. So there you have it. On a more serious note, I think, and this is my opinion, when we have nice, trite little Christian cliches, I think we take away from and we cheapen the truth of who God is and what he deserves of us. We cheapen giving thanks to the Lord by talking about people that aren't thankful as being turkeys, or If you, you know, want to be rich, just count your blessings. And I don't think we dare to take away from the incredible majesty and glory of God, because Scripture commands us to give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. Let's not cheapen it with some trite little things that we might say to someone who's going to say, "Oh, that's a really cool, you know, saying. That makes me want to be a follower of Jesus." I don't think that's true. Gratitude, defined in the dictionary, is the quality of being thankful. Biblically, it is expressing thanks to God, who is the source of all goodness, and it is, I think there is a sense where we have to develop a discipline of giving thanks, or a discipline of gratitude, and that is essential for us if we're going to grow in our knowledge of God and our experience of Him. We need to develop a discipline of giving thanks to God. Because gratitude turns the focus off of us, and it puts the focus on God. Gratitude is an affirmation of the goodness of God and the recognition that He is the giver of all good things. I just want to read the first two verses of Psalm 107. And this is what they say. "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this." Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. When we learn to practice a discipline of gratitude, of giving thanks to God, we take the focus off of ourselves. We take the focus off of our problems and our struggles and our hurts and our disappointments and our failures and our pain, because we turn our focus to God. When we have a tendency as human beings to do this, and when we do it, when we dwell on our hurts and our problems, and when we think about how others have treated us badly or how people have been unfair to us, we become self-absorbed and self-focused, and we let self-pity take control of us. And probably every one of us, myself included, can think of times in our lives where we have taken the focus off of God and being grateful to Him for who He is and what He's done in our life, and we put our focus on ourselves and our problems and our struggles and all the things that we're going through. And the fact of the matter is, when we dwell on our hurts and our problems, or we think about how other people have treated us badly, or how other people have been unfair to us, we become self-absorbed, and we let self-pity take control of us. And I think, as I've been thinking about this, I think that the opposite of gratitude is not necessarily ingratitude. I think the opposite of gratitude really is self-centeredness, self-reliance, self-pity, self-focus, because we can become absorbed in ourselves and we lose sight of God and who He is. We become so, I mean, this is true of all of us, we become so easily preoccupied with our own lives and our own stuff. We see everything, we tend to see everything through a self-focused, inwardly turned lens. And when that happens, we can become worried about everything. It's easy to become critical with people and everything that they don't agree with us. We become angry about everything that doesn't go our way. We can become blinded to our own shortcomings. We start to think that everything depends on us, and that puts a lot of pressure on us. We begin to rely on our own resources, and we get consumed with our own importance because we've taken our focus off of God. We've taken our focus off of giving thanks to Him for who He is and what He's doing in our life, and we've turned our focus inward. And it's not that hard for us to forget that God is the source of all good things and all the blessings in our lives. So gratitude at its heart is an expression of dependence on God. It's not just a feeling that we have. It has to be something that is expressed to God, and we call that giving thanks or thanksgiving. Gratitude needs to be expressed through our story, through our lives. We need to learn to express it daily. Psalm 107 that I'm going to read for you in just a minute takes us through several stories. They're pictures, and each of these stories or pictures is tied in with a call to give thanks to God. And so there's story of wandering in the wilderness, being imprisoned in darkness, suffering in rebellion, caught in a storm at sea. And in each one of these cases, we'll see as we read through this, people turned to God and they cried out to God. And God's instruction to them was, in the midst of what he had was doing for them, they were to give thanks to the Lord. So there's movements. It's like what you're going to see here is like movements in a symphony with the same refrain. Each movement is a different thing. The desert, the darkness, the imprisonment, the storm. But they all have the same refrain. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. So just listen and see if you can tell where those movements play out in this amazing psalm. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, for his wonderful deeds. For he satisfies the thirsty, and he fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and for his wonderful deeds for men. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent them his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, for his wonderful deeds for men. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Others went out to sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love, for his wonderful deeds for men. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who live there. And he turned the desert into pools of water and parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards and yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased. He did not let their herds diminish. But then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of the Lord. There's movements and stories unfolding through this psalm. Wandering in a desert, imprisoned in darkness, suffering in rebellion, caught in a storm. And the thing that's consistent in every one of these portions, every one of these movements, every one of these stories, is that the people cried out to God. God responded and delivered them. And then his instruction to them was that they were to respond by giving thanks to the Lord. So as I was thinking about this psalm and these different movements, I realized that there's some things that we can learn in this and apply to our own lives. And the first one is this. I believe that God uses hard times, difficult times, to cause us to see our need and to turn back to him. And that's probably true in almost every one of our lives. Things can be going along pretty smoothly. Everything's good. Everything's calm. Things are good at work. Things are good at the family. We begin to kind of drift away from God. We put spiritual things on the back burner. And I think there's times that God uses difficulty, trials, problems, hard times to cause us to see our need and to turn back to him. And so you have pictures in this of people who were stumbling, who had lost their way, who had gotten off the path. And that's probably at some points in time in our life, we may find ourselves stumbling and not really knowing where we're going. You have pictures of darkness and all of the feelings of despair and hopelessness and lostness that comes with darkness. And in our lives, you can probably think back at times where you've gone through maybe a period of darkness. Describes those who are chained, entrapped. And I think for us, you know, I don't think any of us have literally been chained up in a prison, but we know what it is to be entrapped by our own choices and the things that we've done where we become imprisoned. And maybe even sometimes we feel chained and trapped by our own circumstances or maybe by what others have done to us. At various times in our lives, we may experience stumbling or darkness or chains. We may experience bitter labor that the psalmist describes here. I mean, the hardness of life. Sometimes life is hard. But God uses all of those things. He uses the times when we may stumble. He uses the times where the darkness seems to be overwhelming. He uses the chains. He uses the bitter labor to cause us to turn our focus back to him, to cause us to see our need and to turn back to him. The other thing that we learn in this passage is that the truth of life is that when we go our own way and we disregard God and we disobey his commands and we don't live in the way that he has called us to live, we suffer the consequences of that. We suffer because of our sins. And I think sometimes we make too light as Christians that sin. Because we just say, well, it's okay, we're forgiven of everything and it doesn't really matter. And we forget the fact that there are consequences that we will suffer when we disobey God's laws and when we go our own way. And sometimes, as you've observed in this psalm, those consequences are hard. They're difficult. We can get to the place where we lose our taste and our love for life, the psalmist describes. But in every instance and in every case, God responds to the heart cry of those who reach out to him. So we may suffer consequences of our choices, our sins, or our disobedience of God's law. When we go our own way, we may experience the consequences of those, but God uses those to call us back to him. And he responds when we cry out to him from our heart. There are times in the storms of life that we may lose our courage. And a very descriptive picture there of seasoned sailors who knew well what it was to sail on a sailing ship. Not a big cruise line, but a vessel that bounced up and down on the waves and was driven by the wind. And they lost their courage. And that may happen in our lives at times. The waves seem like they're crashing around us. We find ourselves at our wit's end. I love that expression. and I don't know where I read it, but somebody said they live at Wits End. That's the address of their street is Wits End, and they live on Wits End. We find ourselves at our wits end, like, and what that simply means is we don't know what else to do. We've exhausted all of our own resources. We can't manage it. We can't fix it. We're at our wits end. But the beautiful thing that you see unfolding in this psalm is that it's like when we suffer, when we go through hard times, when we're at our wits end, it's then that we cry out to God. And maybe there's things that we might avoid in life if we would keep our focus on God to begin with, but he allows these things into our lives to draw us back to him. And the beautiful thing about this psalm and the beautiful thing about a life that is lived trusting God and having faith in him is that God brings us out of our distress. He brings us out of our distress. He calms the storms. He quiets our minds and our hearts. He turns things around, like the desert into springs and pools of water that the psalmist describes here. He blesses, he provides, and he settles us. There's a picture of people being settled in their land. So God uses hard times to help us to see our need and turn us back to him. We suffer the consequences when we don't walk God's ways. We may lose our courage at times, but when we cry out to God, God brings us back from our distress. He calms our hearts. He quiets our minds. He turns things around. He blesses, and he settles us. And repeated in every one of these things, and it's interesting, as I was going back and reading, in every one of these things, like in verse 21, for example, after it describes those who were rebellious and had gone their own ways and suffered the consequences, and then he sent his word and healed them and rescued them from the grave. It says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. In every one of those instances, you notice it doesn't say, God did this for the people and they gave thanks to him. They had to be instructed to do it. You would think it would be the natural response of the heart. But in every one of these instances, it's an instruction, it's a command. After God has done this for you, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his wonderful deeds to men. We're called to be grateful to God for what he has done in our lives. When we wandered, he found us. When we were in need, he provided. When we were in distress, he lifted us up. When we couldn't see the way through, God reached out to us. And I love the way the psalm ends. In one translation, it says, ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. In the NIV, it says, consider the great love of the Lord. Ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. Give thanks. Cultivate gratitude. One of the books I've been reading had a whole chapter on practicing this discipline of gratitude or of giving thanks. And one of the studies that they referenced was done by a UC Davis, University of California Davis professor by the name of Robert Emmons. And I think this has probably been about 10 years ago. He did a study on gratitude, and out of it came a book entitled Gratitude Works. This is one of the things that he quoted in the beginning of that book. He says, gratitude has one of the strongest links to mental well-being and satisfaction with life of any personality trait, more so than even optimism, hope, or compassion. Grateful people experience higher levels of positive emotions such as joy, enthusiasm, love, happiness, and optimism. And gratitude as a discipline protects us from the destructive impulses of envy, resentment, greed, and bitterness. And in this study that he did, and dozens of research studies that were done along with the compilation of this book, those studies demonstrated the benefits, and this is just talking purely on a human level. Those studies demonstrated the benefits of regular expressions of gratitude. And he goes on to say that gratitude is not just a feeling. It involves acknowledging, recognizing, and appreciating, and it is always other-directed. Gratitude toward God or gratitude to someone else. You can't be grateful to yourself. And I thought that was a really interesting statement. You can't be grateful to yourself. You have to be grateful to God. You have to be grateful to someone else who has been a blessing in your life. And so some of the studies that they did have shown that these are some of the benefits of gratitude. These are some of the benefits of giving thanks. Increased feeling of, and this is strictly on a, you know, whether you want to call it a mental or emotional, physical level, these are the benefits of gratitude, of giving thanks. Increased feeling of energy, alertness, enthusiasm, and vigor. Success in achieving personal goals. Better coping with stress. Sense of closure in traumatic memories. Bolstered feelings of worth and confidence. Solidified and secure social relationships. Generosity and helpfulness. Prolonging of the enjoyment produced by pleasurable experience. Improved cardiac health. Greater sense of purpose and resilience. And I thought it's interesting that they did this study at the University of California, Davis. It's put into a book, and it's saying that these are all the benefits of giving thanks. And you look at some of those, wow, I could cope better with stress if I made a regular practice of giving thanks, expressing gratitude. I could deal better with some of the traumatic memories I have if I develop a pattern and a discipline of gratitude, of expressing thanks. I could improve my health. I could have a greater sense of purpose and resilience. And I thought, well, those are all good things, but you really don't need that study to know the importance of gratitude and the importance of giving thanks. But the thing that was intriguing to me as I read through that and read through more associated with that was that all of these benefits support the truth that the Bible teaches of the importance and value of expressing gratitude and thanksgiving to God. In fact, the Bible insists on gratitude and thanksgiving because it puts God in his proper place and it puts us in our proper place, and we sometimes get those inverted. We're up here and we want God to do our bidding and our beckoning, and we flip the tables, and God's supposed to be up here, we're supposed to be here, we switch it around, we're up here, God's here as our little messenger boy to do what we want, and that's not consistent with Scripture. The Bible insists on gratitude and thanksgiving. But I want to say something really important at this juncture. We do not express gratitude just for our own good and benefit. I mean, you could come away from that study and say, well, yeah, I'm gonna develop this discipline of being grateful. I'm going to develop this discipline of giving thanks because I want all those benefits. I want all of those things. You know, I want to have more energy, and I want to achieve my goals, and I want to cope with stress better, and all of those things. Truth be told, though, the call to express gratitude and to be grateful and to cultivate that as a discipline is not... It does benefit us, but we're not to give thanks for our own benefit, because then it just becomes another self-serving thing to get God to do what we want him to do. We do it because God is worthy of our gratitude and praise. We give thanks and we cultivate a discipline of having a grateful spirit because he tells us that we're to come before him with thanksgiving and praise. We can practice gratitude as a spiritual discipline. And let me suggest these three things. And they actually came out of Robert Emmons' book, who happens to be a Christian, even though he was writing to a secular audience. We can practice gratitude as a spiritual discipline. And the first thing we can learn to do is to regularly, daily express thanksgiving to God. And I would say to express gratitude to others who are a blessing in our lives. And Emma says, even if you don't feel like it, You learn to give thanks to God for specific things throughout the day. And so what he's saying is that as the day progresses, we need to get into a habit of giving, and I'm guilty of this. Sometimes I get into a habit of complaining. Breakfast wasn't, not breakfast at home, but breakfast at the restaurant wasn't good today. We have great bagels and coffee or toast and coffee every morning, but sometimes when you go out to eat, not so much. But, okay, I could start off saying breakfast wasn't that good this morning. I hated driving on the street because everybody else was going to work and they were annoying, and then this happened, and I had a plumbing problem at home, and we get so easily consumed in all of these little petty little complaints and stuff of life. And this is the antidote for that. You develop a habit. I'm talking about developing a habit of daily expressions of thanksgiving to God. Making a point throughout the day. You know, when something bad goes wrong, we're quick to complain about it. But when something good goes right, we're not very ready to say, God, thank you for that. And when you begin to make that as a habit, a daily habit of expressing gratitude to God, it begins to change you and your outlook. And one of the points that I thought was really interesting that was made is that we need to express gratitude for things that we are truly thankful for, not just for what we think we should be thankful for. You know, because we know all the like religious jargon and what we should be thankful for and so on and so forth. We said, no, you need to make a habit of being grateful and expressing thanks for what you are truly thankful for. And that can be small things. Like he says, every morning when I get up, I thank God for the cup of coffee that I have and the comfortable chair that I'm sitting in. And he's saying seriously, so as you go throughout the day, you just become, you discipline yourself to give thanks to God for the simple things in life and then the big things that come along in life. But there's so much that we take for granted. And the whole point of when you regularly develop a discipline of expressing thanks every day, it begins to change your perspective because it takes your perspective off of you and it puts it onto God. The second thing is, and I'm going to try to commit to do this, I've already confessed that this is not a strength of mine, says every day write down in a gratitude journal the things you were grateful for that day. And so I'm going to try it for a month. And I figured out you got to do that at the end of the day because, if you do it at 7 o'clock in the morning, you've only got half an hour's worth of stuff to be thankful for. If you do it at the end of the day, you have the whole day. So what I would suggest and give you the same challenge that I'm giving myself is at the end of the day, before you go to bed, unplug, have a little notebook or something, and just take 5 minutes just to jot down the things that you were thankful for from that day. And then the third one is to monthly write a letter of gratitude to someone. And if possible, go and read it to them. I thought that was great. Because I'm grateful to a lot of people for things that they've done, and I realize that I don't often express that to them. And the discipline, these are all disciplines, a regular daily routine of learning to express thanksgiving, even for the small things in your life. Daily, at the end of a day, writing down in the back of a notebook some of the things you're grateful for that day, then you've got something to go back and review. And then taking a time once a month to and I like the fact to make it personal, if you can, go and read it to them. Write a letter of gratitude to someone who's made a difference in your life, someone who's blessed you that week, somebody who's done something to help you. We can shoot a text. We can post something on Facebook. We can send an email. But what if we wrote out a letter and we said, hey, can I stop by your house? I got something I want to read to you. And you read a letter to somebody. I think an amazing thing that would do. We're to give thanks to the Lord for he is good. That has to be a discipline in our life. I love Thanksgiving. I love turkey and stuffing and mashed potatoes and gravy and pumpkin pie and pecan pie. And I can add to that list squash casserole. And we try to make a point at some time in there to, you know, the last few years, usually our daughter-in-law, Christina, is the one, well, she wants us to like pour out our hearts and share all the intimate details of the last year. And I'm thinking, well, just let it be sufficient that we can say one thing that we're grateful for. But we try to do that, you know, as a family gathering. And that's great, but what about the other, you know, just like people at Christmas, they'll celebrate the birth of Christ and the gift of God's love for us. You know, but you can't just do that one day a year. You can't just be grateful one day a year. Over and over again in Scripture, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord. We come before him with thanksgiving. Let me close with this verse from 1 Thessalonians. This is a hard verse to put into practice. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Mainly verse 18, but let me start in verse 16 because it really is one long sentence. Be joyful always. Ouch. Pray continually. Double ouch. Give thanks when life goes good. Is that what it says? No. Give thanks in all circumstances. Other translation says, in everything, give thanks. It doesn't say give thanks for everything. Sometimes, I remember, maybe I've told you this before, but I can remember in college, some girl coming up, because you were at a Christian college, you were supposed to be super spiritual and everything. It's like, well, my dog that I had since I was a child died. Praise the Lord. And it's like, well, I know you think you're supposed to, you know, you're supposed to say that, but, and then they would quote, well, you're supposed to give thanks for everything. And that's a misquote of that verse. It doesn't say give thanks for everything. It says in everything, give thanks. And you're giving thanks to God for his goodness to you, even in the midst of difficult circumstances. When my mom died, I didn't give thanks that she was dead. I give thanks to God for her life. I give thanks to God that she has a home in heaven. I give thanks to God for the joy that I experienced in life because of it, but I don't give thanks that she died. But in that circumstance and in that moment, I can give thanks to God because he's good even in the midst of the tragedy. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So this developing a discipline of gratitude or thankfulness, expressing thanks to God is not just something that's a good idea because it works for us and it makes us, it's God's will for us. We're to give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you will forgive us for the many times that we are self-absorbed, or we get caught up in what we want, how we feel, what's going on in our lives, and we so easily lose sight of you. And we realize that when our attention and our focus is turned inward, we're never fully at peace. We're never joy-filled. We're never fully experiencing your love and your grace because our eyes have turned off of you and onto ourselves. Forgive us for those times. Thank you that you take us through times of wandering and you always bring us home. Thank you that you take us through the storms of life. Even when we feel trapped and imprisoned by things, you were there, you rescue us, you constantly call us back to you. And I pray that you will help us to cultivate a discipline, a habit, a practice of giving thanks to you, that gratitude will not just be something that we talk about or find nice little things to say that make us feel good. Help us to truly be grateful because you are worthy of our praise and our thanks. Help us to ponder the good things that you do in our lives and to ponder your goodness, your love, your mercy, your kindness. You are good, and we give thanks to you because your love endures forever. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.